never heard a Bible study in your life as simple and as practical as the one you're going to hear tonight. This one is almost so simple that I hate to give it to you, but I think it's so important that I feel I must give it to you. Open your Bibles to Luke chapter number 18. I'm going to teach tonight on the science of praying without ceasing. The science of praying without ceasing. Luke chapter 18. I'm just going to read the first verse. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Men ought always to pray. Now turn to Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians chapter number 6 and verse number 18. 18th verse of the 6th chapter of Ephesians. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now we have in those two verses the same command. Ephesians 6:18 says, praying always. Luke 18:1 says, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Now that doesn't mean that men are always to pray and not faint from praying. It doesn't mean at all. It means men ought always to pray and not to faint in the Christian life. Not to quit in the Christian life, not to fall in the Christian life, not to turn back in the Christian life. In other words, you have those alternatives. Either you pray or you faint. There's no middle ground here. You pray or you faint. And he said, if you always pray, you won't faint, and if you don't always pray, then you will faint. So we have in Ephesians 6:18, praying always, and then in Luke 18:1, men are always to pray. Now the very famous 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I want you to keep your Bibles open there because we're going to be in 1 and 2 Thessalonians the entire evening. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, just three words. And this is the title of my lesson tonight, Pray Without Ceasing. Now keep your Bibles open there to 1 Thessalonians. I'm going to start with chapter 1 in a few minutes of 1 Thessalonians. Now we've had three different commands here. One says men ought always to pray. Another says praying always. And another says pray without ceasing. Now what does that mean? Does that mean we're all supposed to start praying right now and keep on praying, and when we get out in the street and walk down to the car, you're supposed to keep on praying? You go to work, keep on praying. All the teachers teaching in school tomorrow, your school students are supposed to keep on praying. Is that what it means? What does it mean to pray without ceasing? What does it mean to always pray and praying always? I really believe I can give you some things tonight that will enlighten you about what this means. And I think that before you leave tonight, you'll have a very simple little plan where you can pray without ceasing. I'm sure a lot of you folks have seen that verse. So how in the world can I do that? How can a person pray without ceasing? And I want to tell you how tonight. Father, bless our study tonight. I believe I found some answers. I believe I know what this means. And I really hesitate to say this, but I believe I do it. I believe I've found the habit and have the habit of praying without ceasing. And I want to share the things I found with these whom I love dearly, so we can obey the command of God, praying always. Always praying and not fainting. Pray without ceasing. In Jesus' name, amen. As I came out of the teacher meeting a while ago, one of the men in our church asked me why Moses didn't get to enter into the promised land. And I said, of course, because he lost his temper and smote the rock twice. And he said, well, that's not a real bad sin. And he meant that's not as bad as other sins. There's no such thing as a sin that's not real bad. Well, except the ones I commit. But what he said is so true. We have certain sins that we think are terrible, and God thinks all sins are terrible. We have certain commandments in the Bible that we think are very, very important, but God thinks all the commandments are important. Now listen carefully to me. The same God that said, thou shalt not kill, said, pray without ceasing. Now, do you have a right to say one's more important than the other? Now, you think one is, but you don't know. Probably, Dr. Rice used to say, the sin behind every other sin that people commit is prayerlessness. I've heard Dr. Rice say this again and again. The greatest sin that one can commit is not to pray. Now, we are commanded, folks, to pray without ceasing. Now, that's a command from God Almighty. Now, if you are a Christian, you ought to be interested in obeying the commands of the God that saves you and of the Savior that died for you on the cross. This kind of a blasé deal, a big deal. No, it is a big deal. It's a huge deal. God never gives any commands that are not important. Now, God says, pray without ceasing. Now, that word pray, and I'm gonna dwell on that same word tonight, without ceasing. There's a little Greek word. It's spelled something like this, P-A-N-T-O-T-E or T-O-T-A. P-A-N-T-O-N-T-E. Sometimes it has different tenses and so forth. But from that word, tonight, in fact, that word is the word I'm going to spend the entire night on. Every verse that I read you tonight has that word in some form in it. Every single verse. Now, when it says pray without ceasing, it uses that little word. Now, that does not mean uninterrupted prayer. Are you listening to me? It does not mean that you're supposed to continue praying all the time, every moment of every day. It means constantly occurring. It means that prayer ought to be constantly occurring in our lives. It means praying on all occasions. It means there should be no occasion in your life where you don't pray. Every occasion. Now I want you to take these words. I want you to take these verses. Look at 1 Thessalonians, if you would, please. We're going to read quite a few verses in 1 and 2 Thessalonians. Now, before I read that, let me remind you of the verses read a while ago. Luke 18:1, men are always to what? Talk to me. Men are always to what? Pray and not to what? Faint. So if you don't pray, you what? And if you pray, you don't what? And if you faint, it's because you didn't what? If you don't faint, it's because you did what? Because you pray. So you either pray or you faint. Now, that doesn't mean that you pass out. That doesn't mean that you go out and get drunk. It doesn't mean that at all. It simply means that there are folks tonight, listen to me now, there are folks tonight in this room who are moral, you're clean, you don't drink, you don't smoke, but you fainted. The things of God mean very little to you. I mean, you come to church because you're supposed to, and that's a good reason to come. But the truth is, you fainted. You have no zeal for God whatsoever. You fainted. Now, the reason you fainted is because you didn't pray. People oftentimes ask me the question, well, I was asked yesterday at noon. I were having a meal with some preachers, and a young preacher said to me, said, Brother Hiles, how do you at 67 years old preach like a young man? He said, how in the world do you get all that excitement? He said, you just absolutely have more energy than most young men. He said, how in the world do you do it? And I said, pray without ceasing. Always pray and not to faint. Reason preachers don't have the zeal of God when they preach is because they don't pray. Reason you don't build the Sunday school class because you don't pray. Reason your bus route is floundering because you don't pray. Prayer is behind every single failure of the Christian life. Every single failure of the Christian life. And we read a while ago, men ought always to pray and not to faint. And then we read, praying always, Ephesians 6:18. Now, look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. We're going to trace that little word, pantote we'd call it, or some form of that, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. We give thanks to God always. There it is right there. Always. That's the same little word that is without ceasing. That's the same word that's in Ephesians 6:18, praying always. That's the same word that's in Luke 18:1. Men ought always to pray. Now, here it says you're supposed to thank God always. All right? Now, we found two things you're supposed to do always. First, you're supposed to what?
Pray.
And second, supposed to what? Thank God. Now, thanking God and praying, not the same thing. Praying is asking for something. Thanking God is not praying. It's talking to God. But all talking to God is not praying. Confession is not praying. Thanksgiving is not praying. Praise is not praying. Praying is asking for something. So we're supposed to pray always, and we're supposed to thank God always. All right? Look, please, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3 and verse number 6. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number 6. But now when Timothy came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us always. There's that word again. All right? Now, there are three things we've learned you're supposed to do always or without ceasing. One is what?
Pray.
Talk to me. One is what?
Pray.
Two is what? Thank God. And three is what? Remember God's people. Say it. Remember God's people. Say it again. Remember God's people. Now, there are three things we're supposed to do always without ceasing. First is what?
Pray.
Second is what? Thank God. Third is what?
Remember God's people.
All right, let's continue. Turn, please, to chapter number 4 and verse number 3. I'm sorry, 17. Chapter 4, verse 17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together, this is the rapture now, with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, that doesn't tell us anything we're supposed to do, but it does tell us something. It uses that little word again. That same word that's in Luke 18:1, that same word that's in Ephesians 6:18, that same word that's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, read a while ago, in verse number 2. That same word is used right here. We shall ever be with the Lord. Now, that means that we're going to be with Jesus someday to the same extent we're supposed to pray. That means I am, get this now, follow this carefully. That means I am to be with him now as much as I am to be with him then. Is that right? It says, pray always. And it says, we'll ever be with the Lord. And what it means, we'll always be with the Lord. Same word. Now, does that mean that every second when I get to heaven, I'm going to be in the presence of Jesus? No, it doesn't mean that at all. It means, though, that I will regularly be in his presence. Here's the husband and wife. They live in the same house. They share the same bed. They eat the same table. They have the same interest. Now, they're always together, but they're not always together. Let's take a retired couple, for example. He's retired. He doesn't work gainfully anymore. And every meal, they eat together. But they're not always together. I mean, he may be washing the dishes while she's out mowing the yard. And so they aren't together. They're not always together. But they are always together. And we say, they're always together. That doesn't mean they're always together. And we say praying always, that doesn't mean that every second of your life you're praying. It means that prayer is a part of every facet of your life. And it means this. It means that you know one reason why when some of us get to heaven, it's not going to seem real unusual? Because we won't spend any more time with Jesus in heaven than we do now. Please don't misunderstand me. I have not yet arrived, but I'm on my way. But I want to say this. I do not believe I'll speak to him any more when I get to heaven than I speak to him now. I mean that. I'm not supposed to speak to him any less now than I do then. I will always be with him, and I am to pray always now. All right? Turn, please, if you would, to chapter number 5 and verse number 15. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good. Now, that word ever is the same root word. Pray without ceasing, same thing. Praying always, same word. Always to pray and faint not, same word. Remembering you always, same word. Always the Lord, the same word. Now, that means, it says here, but ever follow that which is good. Now, what does that mean? Look at me. That means every single facet of your life should be following after that which is good. What's wrong with rock music? If there's nothing wrong with it, it's not good. And the Bible says, ever following that which is good. There are a lot of things on the television set that you watch that are not wrong, but they're not good. See, it doesn't have to be good or bad. Everything that's not good is not bad. Everything that's not bad is not necessarily good. In other words, it's not good or bad. There is that middle ground there. And the Bible doesn't say, don't follow that which is bad. It says, always follow that which is good. All right? So, now then, we better get a little list here. There's some things I'm supposed to do always. One is what? Pray. Second is what? Thank God. Third is what? Remember God's people. And fourth, I'm going to say, will be the matter of following good. Following good. Say it. Following good. I'm always the first what? Pray. I'm always the second what? I'm always third to what? Remember God's people. Fourth, I'm always to what? Follow that which is good. All right? And I'll get very practical now in a few minutes, but I won't lay the foundation. Look at verse number 16. Rejoice evermore. There's that same word. That word evermore is the same root word of always. It's the same root word of without ceasing. It's the same root word of follow. It says, rejoice evermore. What does that mean? Does that mean that I'm supposed to walk down the street shouting all the time? No, but it means in every facet of my life, I'm supposed to rejoice. It doesn't mean every second I'm rejoicing, but it means I rejoice at home, I rejoice at work, I rejoice at school, I rejoice on an airplane. The other day I was on the airplane and I was talking to God and the fellow said, what did you say? And I said, I wasn't talking to you. Well, he said, who's here beside me and you? I said, you ask. And I told him the plan of salvation, he got saved. Now, I'm simply saying that the Bible does say in every facet of my life, every area of my life, I'm supposed to pray. Every area of my life, I'm supposed to thank God. Every area of my life, I'm supposed to remember God's people. Every area of my life, I'm supposed to follow that which is good. Every area of my life, I'm supposed to rejoice all the time. Okay? Now, all these things I'm to do. Now, look at verse 17. Pray without ceasing. Now, in verse 15 and in verse 16 and in verse 17, that same root word, you listening to me? That same root word is used. Here's three things here, one after the other, I'm supposed to do always. I'm supposed to follow that which is good, I'm supposed to rejoice, and I'm supposed to pray without ceasing. All right, let's go down to verse 18. In everything, give thanks. There it is again. You got it in verse 15, you got it in verse 16, you got it in verse 17, you got it in verse 18, that same root word, so what I'm supposed to do always. Now then, look down in chapter in 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1 and verse 3. We are bound to thank God always. That's the eighth time, at least, that we found in the books of 1 and 2 Thessalonians something we're supposed to do with that same word. It's supposed to be in every area of our life. Now you listen to me. That means you're supposed to rejoice everywhere you are. You're supposed to thank God everywhere you are. There should be no place you shouldn't pray. There should be no place you shouldn't thank God. In every area of your life, you ought to be thinking about God's people. In every area of your life, you ought to be following that which is good. Now look down, if you would, please. Verse number 11 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Wherefore also we pray always. There's that same word again. Now look over at chapter number 2 and verse number 13 of 2 Thessalonians. But we are bound to give thanks always, there's that same word, to God for you. Okay, now put your Bibles up, and I'm going to show you how to do it. I'm always to pray. I'm always to thank God. I'm always to follow good. I'm always to rejoice. I'm always to pray and not to faint. I'm always... How in the world? Look at me now. Here's the way I do it. Number one is this. I pray for people according to identification. For example, whenever somebody backslides that I love dearly and I pray for them, I find what kind of car they drive. Now, every time I see that kind of car, I pray for God to bring them back. I know a man drives a 1959 Chevrolet. Every time I see, and he's backslid. Every time I see one, I pray for God to bring him back. That's why God didn't bring him back, because not many of those on the road. I know a person drives a Ford. Are you listening to me now? Hey, enough talking back here. I know a person that drives a Ford Taurus. I'll promise you, I'll pray 10 times a day for God to bring that person back to himself. Now, you'd be amazed. You'd be amazed how many Ford Tauruses there are. If I ever have a wreck, it'll be looking at a Ford Taurus and praying. I'm trying to tell you that I haven't got a car for every backslider in this church. They don't make that many cars. But I'm talking about somebody I love dearly. Let's suppose, for example, what kind of car you drive, Bob? Mercury Sable. Okay? Now, if Bob Eau Claire were to backslide, even worse than he is now, I'm serious now. If he were to backslide, go into deep sin, have to quit the ministry or something, I promise you this, I would pray for him every time I saw a Mercury Sable. Let me have it all these many years. I've got three people right now that I'm praying for regularly to come back to God. Regularly. Now, I've got a list of people I pray for, but I'm talking about folks I'll promise you that in all three cases, I promise you, I pray. There's one of them I'll pray for 50 times a day, at least, because I'll see the kind of car that person drives at least 50 times a day. It's a very popular car. Ford Taurus, likewise, a very popular car. But look, how can I pray without ceasing? I've got to identify. See, your problem is you only pray when you think about praying. No, you ought to make reminders to make you pray. So I see this one person drives a certain kind of a car. This is good stuff. When I see that car, I drive. I'm at the airport, and maybe I'm waiting in line to check in, and I'll see cars driving by. I see that car. I say, God, bring that person back to us. And I'll be driving down the highway. I'll see that car, and I'll say, God, I'll call the person Joe. I'll say, God, bring Joe back to us. I'll see that every time I see the car, God bring Joe back to us. God bring Joe back to us. Now, you see, I'm including prayer for Joe I am praying for Joe without ceasing. I am praying for Joe is a regular part of my life. So, I do that. Now, I have a policy of this. And I'll go back when we get through after a while. And let you write these down if you want to. I'll give you a bunch of these and let you write them down if you want to. But don't write them down now. I have a policy of this. When I see an out-of-state license plate, I pray for everybody I can think of in that state. Regular. I see them all the time. I'm driving to the airport. Today I was driving back from the airport. I'll guarantee you, I prayed for that one person mentioned a while ago. This Joe, I told a while ago. I prayed for this person who I'm calling Joe. I prayed for that person at least 35 times coming back from the airport today. I saw that particular make car at least 35 times. Now, that's one good thing about observing the speed limit, because everybody passes you. Jack Scop says hitchhikers pass me on the way to the airport, the way I drive, but I drive the speed limit, and everybody passes me. Literally, everybody passes me. I don't care, bicycles and ice cream vendors, and everybody passes me. Now, as these cars pass me, I see this particular car. I'll just say, how about a Ford Mustang? How about that? I see a Ford Mustang. Let's just suppose I'm praying for Mary. I see a Ford Mustang. I pray for Mary. And these cars pass me. See, if I drive the same speed as everybody else, I won't see as many cars. But if I keep the speed limit, as these cars pass me, I see these cars, and then I'll pray when I see an out-of-state license, I'll pray for people that I think of in that state. Today, a car passed me, It had a California license on it. Now, immediately, I prayed for Jack Trevor. Immediately, I prayed for Larry Chapel and his two sons, Paul and Mark. I prayed for them. I prayed for Napa. Mike Ray. I prayed for Mike Ray. Sometimes I can't think. I'll say, Lord, bless the fellow up in Napa. God knows who's up there. And I'll say, bless the fellow in Napa. Now, look. I promise you, I'll pray hundreds and hundreds of times a day. While your mind is listening to some dumb program on a radio station, I'm praying. Now, you have to close your eyes while you. I don't say, oh, Lord, bless my Christ. I don't do that at all. That's what you women do, but I don't do that. I'm trying to tell you that those I love in that state, I pray for. Hey, here's something else I do. Every time I meet a doctor in my travels, I pray for the doctors in our church. I'd say at least once a month, I'll meet some doctor in my travels. I'm talking about medical doctor, a dentist or medical doctor, and I'll pray. And I, if it's in the daytime, I'll say, Lord, Dr. Gary Gosch is probably in surgery right now. I pray you'd help him. Dr. Dennis Streeter is probably in surgery right now. I pray you'd guide his hands while he's operating in surgery. And you folks up in the mezzanine, son, hey, sit up there. Don't be crawling around up there. So I say that I'll pray for the doctors. When I meet a lawyer in my travels, I'll pray for the lawyers in our church. When I meet a mechanic, I pray for the fellows I know are mechanics in our church. When I meet a plumber, I pray for the plumbers I know in our church, and the painters, and the school teachers. I prayed Monday night in Panama City, Florida, for every man on our staff. When I walked out, I saw the assistant pastors there on the staff, and the first thing I did was pray for the men on our staff here at First Baptist Church. Now, folks, look, you don't have to remember to do this. You don't have to set the alarm. If you learn to pray by association, every morning, I weigh, and then I pray. But I wait. Now, coming out of the bathroom and through the bedroom to the hallway, there's a picture of our four children out there, all four of them, one picture. Every morning, I stop, and I pray for Becky, and I pray for David, and I pray for Linda, and I pray for Cindy. Every morning. Now, that picture reminds me. And I have to see it. It's right there. And then that reminds me to go to their bedrooms where they used to stay, their rooms, and I think of them and pray for each one of them again. Now, that's what it means to pray without ceasing. I don't walk down a shopping center. Oh God bless our church. Oh God bless our spring program. I don't do that. I may walk down if I go to a shopping center. I'll see women's clothes, and I'll say, oh, Lord, don't let Ms. Howells go shopping today. He never answers that prayer. But I have certain things. Yesterday afternoon, it was raining, but when it let up for a while, I take a walk every Tuesday afternoon. And I always walk through the parking lot, one place, the parking lot, of the hotel where I am, if it's a big hotel. If not, I'll find a shopping center, and I'll walk through the car. And I'll take this Ford Mustang deal. I'll pray for, was it Mary I was praying for a while ago? I'll pray for Mary. I'll every time I see a Ford Mustang, and every time I see a Ford Taurus, in fact, every time I see a Ford at all, I pray for the people that own it. I'm saying that I'll look at these license plates, and I'll pray for God to bless. Okay, here's one that says Maine. God bless Steve Christner today, and bless Jack DeCosta today. And I'll list our preachers up in Maine. I'll see a Massachusetts one. I'll pray for our our graduates, Massachusetts. And these are not times where I'm agonizing with God. Now, I have seasons of prayer where I agonize with God. I have seasons of prayer where I do say, oh, God, I've got to have your power. I've got to have help. Oh, God, you got to help me. I'm talking about times when I'm praying without ceasing. I'm just, I'll be in a car sometimes. It was the other day. Driving down the street, going to church in the car. I was going to preach. And I got to praying for people about license plates. And the fellow in the driving the car, the preacher said, Dr. Tiles, I didn't hear you. I said, didn't have to. I wasn't talking to you. I was looking at license plates. And several times I saw that Ford Mustang and prayed for Mary and so forth. Now, folks, what God is saying, he's not saying, oh, Lord, help us, Lord, help us, oh, Lord, help us. He's saying in every area of your life, prayer ought to be a part of everything that you do. And reminders are a vital part of that. For example, I make it a habit, and you can't do this, most of you, but I make it a habit. When I fly over a certain city, today I flew over Indianapolis. When I flew over Indianapolis, I prayed for about 15 people that are down in that town. I fly over this area nearly, well, I'd say at least once every 3 weeks, coming back from the east or the south. I fly over this area, and I'll look down and try to find your house. You better watch it. My eye's on you, and you don't know it. And I try to find your house, and I'll pray for you folks as I'll see that house. Or if I fly over South Bend, I'll pray for folks I know in South Bend. When I fly, the other day I was flying over Omaha, and I prayed for the Bentleys in Omaha there at the church in Pastor Ken Bentley. I prayed for his two boys who are in our college, by the way, flying over Omaha, going out west. I'm trying to tell you, if you really thought that prayer did any good, and if you really wanted to pray without ceasing, you could identify yourself with things that would remind you to pray for certain things or certain people, and it's not all that hard to pray without ceasing. Then, folks who give me things, when I use those things, I pray for them. How would you like to be on my prayer list? Bill Grady went with me on a trip one time. And every time I see a book on the King James Bible, I pray for God to bring Bill Grady back to God. But anyway, he gave me, and we got back off the trip, he bought me a pair of shoes. Every time I put those shoes on, I pray for God to bless Bill Grady. Never fails. Never fails. Tom Neal bought me a suit. In fact, he's bought me two or three of them. But Tom Neal bought me a suit one time. Every time I put that suit on, I pray for Tom Neal. When folks give me a tie, when I put that tie on, I pray for those people. These are the highs. You just pray all the time. No, I don't. I just pray in everything I do. I pray. And that's what it's talking about. Pray without ceasing. It means on every occasion, in everything you do, you pray. There's so many things that folks have given me. Okay, right here. I don't see the good fellows up there tonight. There they are. These good fellows up there. I have a knife right here. It was given to me by the good fellows. Now, I have several people who have given me knives, and I'll take this knife, and I'll carry it a whole week, just this knife. And then there's some week I'll carry my machete, but I'll carry this knife a whole week. I use a knife several times a day. I've used this knife at least five times today, and I've prayed for the good fellows at least five times today. Now, I'm saying that your problem is you don't give a flip about people. And your trouble is if you see a knife, you say, God, give me a better knife. Or you look at a tie, you say, I'm tired of this same old tie. I'm saying there's a way that prayer can be as much a part of your life as breathing is. I don't breathe every second of my life. I wasn't breathing then, but I breathe in every area of my life. I breathe. I breathe at church. I breathe at home. Well, sometimes I get the breath knocked out of me at home, but like last Sunday night, we got back in. But I breathe on the airplane. I breathe in the car. I breathe when I walk. It doesn't mean I'm constantly, always breathing. Sometimes I hold my breath.
but breath is a part of me everywhere I go. And God says that prayer is supposed to be a part of you everywhere you go, in every endeavor of your life.
I prayed for that man, Ray Young, this week, probably 25 times, because I was preaching for a man that used to be your pastor, right? In fact, I think you got saved in his church. And I was Richard White, Panama City, Florida. Ray Young is one of his boys, got saved in his church. And every time I'd see Richard White, I'd pray for Ray Young. Why? Identification. Identification. Every time I'd see a beach down in Panama City, I'd pray for Ed Lapina. He loves to go to the beach. Now, folks, listen. You know, this thing of the Christian life is not real spooky. It's not spooky. You drive down the street and you see a Ford Mustang and say, God, bring Mary back to Jesus. See a Ford Taurus, God, bring Joe back to yourself. There's nothing spooky about that. You haven't got to get a frown. You haven't got to... Yeah. Did you know you don't have to frown to pray? You don't have to bow your head to pray. You don't have to kneel to pray.
Every area of your life.
I get up in the morning. Especially this time on the road. I get up in the morning. I get out of bed. Now, I don't wake up. I get resurrected from the dead every morning. And that reminds me of the resurrection. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. I'll guarantee you, 90% of the time when I'm traveling, when I wake up in the morning, the first thing I do is think of Jesus, because he's resurrection, and thank him that he's the resurrection. I go turn the light on. In your case, you would need to turn the light on. The sun's up here when you wake up. But this morning, I turned the light on at 4:15 when the alarm went off. And as soon as I threw the alarm against the wall, I turned the light on. And I said, thank you, Jesus, that you're the light of the world. Somebody sent a little plant in my room. I looked at that little plant. It's a little ivy thing. And I said, thank you, Jesus, you're the true vine. I went to the washroom, got me a drink of water. I said, thank you, Jesus, that you're the living water. Looked out and I saw, looked out to the east. I saw the sun wasn't coming up, or it was going to come after a while. And I said, thank you, Jesus, you're the son of righteousness. Now, you see, for the house, that's sort of different. I know that's different. It's also different to obey the Bible, too. But God says, pray without ceasing. Now, you could start with a license plate. Start with the kind of car somebody you're praying for when you see that kind of a car. Start with the things folks have given you. And when you see them, think about the person. I pray about things I have. I was sitting at a table the other day, about 8 people around the table at noon, a bunch of preachers. And all of a sudden, a tear began to roll down this eye right here. It may have been this one. It was one of those. A tear rolled down the eye. And a fellow who knows me well said, Brother Howes, he called me Brother Jack. He said, Brother Jack, he said, what are you crying about? I said, nothing. He said, oh, yes, you are. He said, I said, I'm not crying. That's a tear of joy. He said, why? I said, because every time I sit down to eat a meal, I go back to the little shack of a house on Ann Arbor Road, way out in southwest Dallas, and remember how hungry we were. And remember when we didn't have anything to eat. And I said, I was just remembering. Most of the time when I sit down to eat, I remember how Ms. Hiles and I, we were just gotten married. We had one room. We had no kitchen. We had no cupboard. We had no place to put food. And for the first week or so, we ate off pecans that fell on the tree in the backyard. Now, you think I'm going to sit down and eat and not remember that? Listen, I always say some little prayer when I pray. It's always very simple. Thank you for the food. Watch over us through the day. Something like that. But it's bigger than that. And it's greater than that. And it's deeper than that. Every time I eat a meal, I go back and remember
how hungry I used to be and how I thought people that ate food like this were rich people. And I'll always say under my breath, thank you, Jesus. I love you for the food I'm about to eat. Always do. Always do. Most of you say grace, but you never say a prayer. You don't know what you're saying. I never get in that little Plymouth Sundance car. I wish it was something else, like Sunburn or Sundance. That bothers me greatly. But I never get in that little Plymouth Sundance car without thinking about the first 3 years we were married. We had no car. You know that I was pastor of a Baptist church before I ever owned a car? I think about walking 3 blocks to the bus and waiting 15 minutes for the stupid bus. And then it goes by you because it's full. I am not going to casually get in my car. I'm going to thank God for my soul for a car to drive. That's what it's talking about. Pray without ceasing. You're getting in your car can remind you when you didn't have one. Forgive me when I say this. This is a little touchy. I never go to the bathroom without remembering the outhouse. I thank God that... I better not go any further than that. But I mean that. Folks, it's no big deal to pray without ceasing. All you got to do is let different things remind you to pray. You have to go to the washroom sometime. And it's freezing ice on the ground. And the bathroom is 50 feet out behind the house. You go out there and you freeze to death. And the door is shut, and you find your sister's already in there. Earlene, hurry! I don't have to hurry. Earlene, you do have to hurry. Praise God for bathrooms. Praise God for lavatories. Praise God for commodities. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I go to... If it's my job to turn the thermostat down at night in our house, I touch that little thermostat and remember what I used to have to do to make it warmer or cooler. It took me 15 minutes to bank the stove. Banking the stove meant that I had to turn the damper to block the stove pipe. Had to go down here and get the grate at the wood stove and close that thing so no air could get into the stove. And then the stove would quit, the fire would quit blazing, and it would simmer all night long. And the next morning I had to get up cold on a linoleum floor, barefooted, and go over there and get the poker out, open the grate, open the damper, get the poker, stir the fire. I've said this often. I'm the only person I've ever known can get out of bed when it's freezing and go over and get the poker, open the grate, open the damper, stir the fire, get back in bed without my feet touching the floor one time. I never go turn the thermostat down or up without thanking God for central heat. Pray without ceasing. You've got enough good things that happen to you. You wouldn't take you very long where you could pray without ceasing. I'm not asking you to become some kind of a nut. Just this kind of a nut. I'm not asking you to get that strange look on your face and say, well, the Lord is with me everywhere I go. I'm not asking you to do that. I'm just asking you to do what God said. In every situation of your life, pray. Pray without ceasing. Reminders. When I pick up the phone, I never make a phone call without thanking God for the telephone. It never rings without me cursing it. But I thank God. Today when my plane wouldn't go, I was at the airport. I called Ms. McKinney from the airport and could tell her. And all of that, now you got these things in it. You can walk down the corridor of the airport and see folks with a little box like that talking to folks in Japan. Pray without ceasing.
if you would learn to identify everything you do with prayer. And again, you wouldn't be a screwball. You wouldn't be a nut.
All you'd be is a grateful, obedient child of God who's thankful to God for His goodness, and you love people, and you want to pray for...
But you make that prayer list. Here's what you do. You get that prayer list. And I'm not against this. And you'll say, this is my prayer list. And I am going to do this from 10 o'clock to 10:30 every morning, or 7:30 to 8. But what about when the kid sticks a nail in his foot during that time? What about when the baby throws up and vomits during that time? Now, there ought to be seasons of prayer where you're alone with God and you ought to pray. But that's not what this is talking about. This says in every area of your life, prayer ought to be vital and a part of it. If Brother Colston and I were taking a trip together, we're driving down the highway together, we may go 2 or 3 minutes and not say anything to each other. And I may all of a sudden see a pretty tree. I say, isn't that a pretty tree? I'm talking to Brother Colston without ceasing. I don't want Brother Colston to miss anything that I think he would enjoy seeing. And we'll talk. Be quite a while, and we'll talk. Now, that's the way you ought to be with God. I say it again, and I say it sincerely, and I don't claim to be a good Christian. I do tell you this is the truth. I don't expect to talk to Jesus anymore. If I died tonight, I wouldn't expect to talk to Jesus, any more words to Jesus tomorrow than I did today. Mrs. Moss Sunday, my dear friend, I knew her well for the last several years before she died, Mrs. Billy Sunday. She said that Billy would talk to God. Now, I'm not like this, but she said Billy would talk to God as much as he'd talk to her when they're together. And sometimes Billy would make it a three-cornered conversation. I've heard Dr. Rice again and again and again on the way to church or driving down the road. I've heard him mumble. I knew what he was doing. I've heard him say, oh, God, oh, God. I saw him one day eating some strawberries. He got a bunch of some whipped cream and put on top of the strawberries. And I heard him say, oh, thank you, Jesus, for strawberries. That's what I'm talking about. That's exactly what I'm talking about. In everything, give thanks. Praying always. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. And again, I'm saying, and I'll close this, I'm saying, I'm not asking you to be some kind of a spooky-looking kook. You are anyway, but that's not the reason. I'm not asking for that. I don't want you to be one of these deeper life show-offs. I don't want you to be that way. But I just want you to include God in everything. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Let's suppose Miss Hiles has a cold. I'm on the airplane, somebody sneezes. I say, Lord, bless Miss Hiles. But Brother Colston has a cold. Somebody sneezes, Lord, bless Brother Colston. I'm saying, you can learn. Did you ever see something real nice you saw and you said, I wish he was here. I wish he were here. I wish he were here. And everything that you do, you associate with somebody that you love very, very much. Why can't you love Jesus that much? And why can't you learn to have certain things that remind... Okay, I promised you something. Get your pencil and paper out and I'll give it to you real quick. Like, you don't want it this late in the night, but I'm going to give it to you anyhow. I'm just going to read it off real quick. Write what you can. We're going to take about 2 minutes here. Write what you can. Number one, cars. Pray for people when you see the same type of car that they own. Another, license plates. License plates. Another, when you meet folks of certain professions, such as doctors, lawyers, mechanics, plumbers, painters, school teachers, staff members, and so forth. Another, pictures. Put pictures up.
Don't put a picture in a corner over there on a mantle. Put a picture where you, so you, when you pass by it, you'll see it all every day. You'll see it. When you fly over a city or a state to think of a certain city. Somebody gives you something. You have a gift. Shoes, suit, tie, knife, I mentioned. What reminds you of Jesus? Things that you have. When you get in the car, when you eat a meal, when you make a phone call, when you go to the washroom. Signs and reminders. And you can think of a dozen others of your own. And there are dozens of others that I use that I cannot think of at the present time. All, and look, here's what you do. Make that 4 minutes. Here's what you do. I preach a sermon on prayer, or somebody else does, and you trot down the aisle and get on your knees and you make God a promise that you're going to pray more. But you don't keep that promise. Most of 99% of the people that make that promise don't keep that promise. But you mean to. You know why? Because all you do is you make that prayer list and hope that you can remember when you're supposed to do it, to go get that prayer list and trot it out. I don't have to have a prayer list of members of my family on it. I've got things I see that remind me of them every day. I'll promise you the name Becky Smith has been prayed for. I promise you in the last 3 days, I promise you the name Becky Smith has come out from my lips at least 200 times. I promise you. Same thing with Dave. Same thing with Linda. Same thing with Cindy. I don't have to make a vow to God. I'm going to set this. Now, I have set times to pray, but I'm talking about a way of life. Everything you do ought to include talking to God. Shall we stand?